And he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you. How long?
Forever.
The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 14, 15 through 18. I'd like to welcome you this morning. It's Mother's Day. Who is the youngest mother here? The youngest mother. Who is the youngest mother? We have to go, who's the oldest mother? We won't go that direction. Who's the youngest mother here?
It might be.
Amy's got to be you. So, we'd like to welcome all the moms, grandmothers that are here today. Probably great-grandmothers that are here too. And just hope you have a day that you will remember, that you will get phone calls, or people will come and see you, or you got cards in the mail this week, however it happened in your life. You are definitely worth being recognized and being thanked for being moms. We'll get into more of that. Reason why mothers are so important a little bit later here in the service. But I do want to let you know that there's some things that are not in the bulletin because we found out about them after it was printed. There is someone by the name of Aspen Sky Moore in Colorado. Now that's a Colorado name, Aspen Sky Moore. Steve and Anna Moore, they are the grandparents to this little girl that was born on Friday afternoon. And so we just want to congratulate them and let you know that they finally, Anna went out there to be with Forrest as the youngest boy. And then she said she can't handle him. She needs more help. He's not even 2 yet. And so Steve went up there to be the cavalry. The helper. It was cavalry. I don't know. But the helper was there. So that's where they're at. And then Dean Ramsey's checkup went well. He did not like what the doctor told him, though. The doctor said, no more working of any kind for 6 more weeks. Dean did not like that. But he got a good report. He said, Dean, take the good report, and now listen to what the doctor said. If you have a hard time listening to what the doctor said, listen to Cheryl. And I said, there's a good thing about Dean. He can feel Cheryl's x-ray vision from the house. That she's watching him when he's doing things he shouldn't be doing. He looks back at the house and he says, sure enough, there she is staring out the window, looking at me. I said, that's a good thing, Pete. You shouldn't be doing what you're doing there. So we just thank the Lord for your prayers that you've given on his behalf and that he's doing fine. And so it's a long ways out to his place. And I went out there for supper on Friday night, it was. And so I go like, we did a long ways out. He said, that's why we're always late. Yeah, I can see that. Just want you to know that those of you that helped out with the Joy Kids, the Joy Us Kids on Wednesday after school or after school program, we want to recognize you today. I mean, doing that is just a little appreciation with a cake. We have a cake that is here that we hope that you can stay and get a piece of cake and a cup of coffee or water, whatever you want to have with that. And to just thank you for all the help that you have given this past year. And thank you, Amy Johnson, for leading and being kind of the director of all that goes on there with other things you do as well. So thank you for the things you have done. And you know, it's kind of those things, the kids are getting used to you. Well, they're going to get used to you, kind of a thing. And so, but I just want you to hang in there, and we'll get through this whole thing together. But thank you for those of you that helped on Wednesdays with that ministry. Some of the things that are in the bulletin today, just want to make sure that you read the back side of the insert that you find in your bulletin as well. But just let you know that everything this coming week is pretty much the same. It's taking place. I'm a bachelor for, I'm not sure how long. My wife did leave me on Wednesday. And I'm not sure when she's coming back. But I talk to her every day, text her back and forth. And so I think sometime this coming week she should be back. But I don't know for sure exactly. Just wanted to let you know that, you know, the prayer requests, make sure you're mindful of the prayers that you have been offering to the Lord on behalf of Wayne Sunday. He's back home. And he's got one muscle on his heart, that mitral valve that they put in his... There you are. I'm glad that you're here. I was just going to say that he does have that a muscle on his heart that's putting pressure on that mitral valve, I think it is. And it kind of restricts the flow of blood, and therefore he then gets fluid, he retains fluid. So they need to do something about that, and they just said it's going to take six weeks or something for that to loosen up, maybe. But then it's too tight of a muscle, so it's got to get looser, and it will in time. And so, I mean, they've taken about, 15 pounds of fluid off of you? I bet you feel great. Okay. We're not at great yet, but he's better. Glad that you're here today as well. And I told you about Dean Ramsey and Curtis Jazz. He is at home, and he says he's got a lot less pain than he once had, and he's doing well with his knee replacement, and he's glad to be home as well. So just wanted to let you know that the ladies' luncheon, that's for all ladies of Harbor Joy, you know, and friends of you ladies, and I'm sure invite them too. You'll be getting together at the Well in Spirit Lake. It's a new eating place, new coffee place, on May 24th. And you do that at 11:15. Get there before the rush. That's kind of what happens there. So keep that in mind. You can read the other things. Next Sunday is graduation. For high school graduation is taking place, that many of you probably are aware of that. And we will have something special for the graduates that are part of our church next Sunday. That'll be kind of the message next week. It'll be completely different than what you hear normally. So just be ready for that. And if you don't want to come, go on Zoom. And you can always watch it on Zoom later on in the day as well. But those are all the announcements I'm going to make. Other than, there's an announcement that is going to talk about mothers that you're going to see by video here this morning. And go ahead and play it.
Just give me 1 second.
Sure. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about that.
Anyway.
Nice to meet you as well. You ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot. For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Time to talk to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating that lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No, that's crazy.
Now, this position requires an excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine. medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be a nurse. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up. We demand that. With the happiness.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
How much time to sleep or?
Oh, no time to sleep.
No, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
No. No, I can do that for free.
Yeah, for real, no. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Moms. That's awesome.
Sing along with us.
shout with joy to God all the air.
Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name.
Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping.
We, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver.
You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs.
You let them ride over our heads. We met through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance.
Come and listen. All you who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me.
I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue.
If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer.
Come and see what God has done. How awesome his works in man's behalf.
Praise to God.
Another song together, wonderful words of life. Acts the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 17, verses 32 to 34. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Diogenes, a member of the And it says, also a woman named Damaris. Damaris. Do you know what her name means? A heifer. Oh. Now, you do not call her a cow. So she must be a young lady, but Damaris is her name. She and a number of others came to believe, but Paul came and said to them. Let's just pray. You can be seated. Lord, we thank you for moms, and we thank you for Damaris. Just mentioned more languages here. We don't know a whole lot about her. But Lord, that can be the same said here this morning. There are a lot of moms that are here, grandmas, great grandmas, and we may not know a lot about them. But you know everything about the moms that are here today. And you know the struggles, you know the pressures, you know the stresses. And just help us to focus here this morning on this Mother's Day, about what you would want us to know from your word today. And I ask for your help. You preach clearly, concisely. Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you know that I went up to clean out my mom's house because she moved to a different place, to another town about 40 miles away from where she had been living since 1996. Had to go clean out the house. But on the way back, I was going like, you know, there's something I've learned about my mother. She's 94 years old right now. So, hi, Mom. Oh. Wasn't using that anyway. I've learned this, that wherever my mom is at, that's really where home is. And I know that some of you here today, all you have for your mother is just memories. And that's all you will have in the days ahead. But moms are the glue that keeps the family together. At least that's the way it used to be. And it still is today in a lot of ways. Because once mom is gone, what happens? Families change. You start looking at your own kids, Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, whatever the special holidays are. People went there because mom was there. And dad, too. But once mom is gone, it really changes our lives a lot. And that's probably changed some of you here today as well. So this morning, in our text, we're going to look at a woman by the name of Damaris that we don't really know a whole lot about. What we do know is this, is that she was Greek. That was her nationality. She's Greek. She lived in Athens, Greece. And we don't even know if she was a mother, if she is a mom. We don't know if she was ever even married. but we're going to learn a little bit something about her today along the way. The only thing we do know about Damaris is that she became a believer. She became a believer in Jesus Christ. And that's huge. It's huge. Because you got to think of where she's living at. Athens, Greece. The Greeks were the one that really had the whole intellectual. They had the universities that were there. People went there to learn. The higher education would be found there in Greece, and especially in Athens. And some of you are familiar with the Parthenon. Parthenon. It's another tough one. The one that's way up there on the hill. It's got a huge temple on it. Right now it's just ruins. But in its day, it was also one of the seven wonders of the world. It was a place that they had a god that they would come and worship up there on that big, big plateau that you find in Athens, Greece. And you'd still go up there today if you went on a tour. You would find the god known as Athena. Athena should be Athena, because it's Athens. It was Paul, the Apostle Paul, who had gone to this huge city. And he has the opportunity to share the gospel. And it is when he does that, it is among a lot of people there in Athens who heard him. But it is said that Damaris was one of the few from that crowd that came to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she wasn't the only one who believed that. There were some men as well, and many others. But I want you to think about it. She went from the majority of what the population was in that town, that as soon as she put her faith in Jesus Christ, she became a minority. Christianity at this time in history was not welcome. If you were a Christian, it was like painting a bullseye on your back. And people did not like you. And they'd be watching you really close. Because if you were living in Athens, Greece at this time, the Greeks believed in worshiping many, many gods. There were so many gods that they had there that when Paul was walking through the city, he noticed an inscription on one of the altars throughout the city. It said, "To an unknown god." So they didn't want to miss anybody. They didn't want to miss a god. So that's why they had this one, "To an unknown god." But Paul is saying, "I'm going to tell you about this god that you don't know anything about, that you will know him." And that's really what he does. So I want to give you a little historical background, which I kind of already did in some sense here, because I think that's very helpful to our text here today. As Paul comes into Athens, he comes in by boat, by a ship, and as he walks the streets of Athens, he notices a couple of things. He notices that the people who live here are religious people. Because he sees that there are many idols in the city. And if there's an idol, it means they believe in many gods, many different gods. They're very religious. And he goes to a synagogue, which is normal for him to do on his missionary journeys. He finds a synagogue. So there are Jews that live there. And they also found some God-fearing Greeks who would also attend in the synagogue. So they had something in common with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks. But he'd also walk in the shopping districts. He'd go to the marketplaces, and day by day he would meet people. He'd rub shoulders with people there. And he also met some philosophers. is a huge place for philosophy. People enjoy getting together around coffee and just talking about new things that are going on in the world. Of course, you know, their world is, they think it's the whole world, they're the part of the real world, but the world is a lot bigger than them. And so you find that these philosophers are known as Epicureans and Stoics. Now, you probably don't know anything about an Epicurean, but who is an Epicurean and who is a Stoic? But anyway, it was these two groups, Epicureans and the Stoics, who argued with Paul about his beliefs, what he had said about them, about Jesus Christ rising from the dead. They had some real problems with that. So they're arguing with Paul about what he believes. What would that be like for you if somebody wanted to argue with you on what you believe? Would you be able to hold your own ground? Or would you just kind of have to say like, okay, say what you want to say, and I'm really not sure. I'll get back to you on that. Paul knew what he believed in. And he was able to talk to these guys. So I just want to let you know that the Epicureans' goal in life, this is kind of their mindset. An Epicurean was in pursuit of everything that would be pleasure. Pleasure. And fine living, especially with food. So that's kind of the lifestyle that Epicureans really wanted to have. They were materialists, but they did not believe in God at all. They're atheists. And they promoted a free life, a life that is going to be free from pain and anxiety. And that's who they were, the Epicureans. Now, none of this is going on today, is it? It's all over the place. And so these are the kind of people that were arguing with Paul, saying like, no, you're off, you're rocker, you're out of left field, you know, we can't believe what you're saying here. Then we go to the Stoics. The Stoics rejected idolatry of pagan worship, and they taught that there was a one world God. So they were different than the Epicureans. But they were pantheists. They believed in many different gods. And they emphasized a personal discipline and self-control. The most important thing in the life of a Stoic was to follow one's reason and to be self-sufficient. They would be unmoved by their inner feelings or outward circumstances. We see that happening at the border of our country. It's kind of like, who cares? They want to come? Let them come. There is no feelings that are associated with those who are crossing the border illegally. You can come to our country, just do it the right way. I think that's all that's being asked. But a Stoic did not need God's help. They could do it everything themselves. Self-sufficiency. We have some of that going on today too. There might be some of you here today that go like, hey, I'm self-sufficient. I don't need anybody's help. Paul was invited then, because he got into this argument between these two groups, the Epicureans and the Stoics. They wanted him to go to the council that met on what is known as Mars Hill. And that was to the Areopagus. There, I said it pretty good. Don't ask me to say it again. But it was a hill that was there in Athens, still there today. That's where they would meet with this council. And they wanted to hear Paul more, have more questions to ask him with the council. And the council had the authority to bring in lecturers or speakers that talk about religion or about anything that's educational that would go on in the community of Athens. So they had that right to do that. So they said, Paul, this is what you're telling us is it's new to us. It's a strange teaching. Mars Hill, as it's called today, Mars is a Roman word for the Roman god Mars, who is the god of war. That's what Mars means. But they wanted Paul to share his beliefs about Jesus. And so he did. And here's the responses that because he was sharing that here is God's son that he's told him that his name is Jesus Christ who rose again from the dead on the third day. And they said, we've never heard this strange teaching before. We want to know more. But not everybody wanted to hear more. There were some that were there that said, you're crazy. And we've heard enough, and they just sneer at what you have to say. They'd laugh at it. And so Paul, as he talks about Jesus to them, he does something very, very interesting when it comes to relate to the people who are there. They're Greeks. And so he tells them it's about, hey, one of your own poets. He uses one of the poets that is Greek, but they'd be familiar with. He said, one of your poets has said that you are the offspring of God. You are God's offspring. But then he goes on to say, but you're used to being talked to about making your gods out of gold and silver and stone. I want to tell you about a God who's interested in you, who's made you, created you, and who loves you. And so he begins to tell them that even God overlooks their ignorance, that they don't know anything about what he is saying to them. But he does say to them that there's this God that does live, does exist, and he has set a day in which he will judge the world and he will come again. They've never heard this before. But he's saying the proof of this, what he's saying to them is the proof is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, before he was given that name Paul, he was Saul. And he was a Pharisee, a Jewish Pharisee, and was on his way on the Damascus Road. What happened to him on the way there? He fell off his horse because he saw a great light. He was blind for 3 days, but he heard the words of Jesus saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it was a change in his life that happened on that road to Damascus. And he was led by hand. This is the guy that was, he liked doing everything himself. And he could do everything himself. He was very smart, very wise. He was the elite of the Pharisees. And he was led to a man in Damascus who would pray for him. And he would receive his sight back after 3 days, which didn't happen. So the reactions to his message is this. Some sneered and didn't like what they heard him say. Some wanted to hear more about this Jesus and rising again from the dead. But there were some that did believe Paul. Damaris is one, and there's others as well. It was just a small group. So just like back in Paul's day, people had to decide to believe the gospel or not. Back in Greece, it was difficult to live as a Christian. In those days, To be a follower of Jesus meant something. Now, if you were a follower of any kind of God you wanted to, and went to the temple and gave different offerings to different gods, well, I mean, no one really cared about that. Everybody did that. But when you stopped giving offerings to other gods because you believed by faith in Jesus Christ, people would look at you like, you're a little odd. You're a little strange. Moms, I want to talk to you for a little bit here this morning because you have a lot of irons in the fire. Your job, some of you have jobs, some of you don't have a job because you got kids at home. But that's a job as well, as we saw in the video. You cook, you clean, you organize, you take the kids to practices, you go to their games, you probably have to take them to their games. You go to a lot of different school events with the kids. I mean, if it wasn't for you, your kids really couldn't do a whole lot because you are the mastermind of it all. You're juggling all kinds of different balls there because you love your kids. And you'll do whatever it takes to see that they will get what they want to do or that they will succeed in life. I mean, I could ask Bob and Carol. I mean, it's not every day you get to be in the front pew. That's why Bob doesn't have his hearing aids. And he's going, I know, he's going to pick on us. He's going to pick on us. But, you know, you're just a great example of loving on your kids and taking their kids with you for a week, flying down to Florida with them, spending time. I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I don't know of too many that would ever do that. You're good examples to that. And happy Mother's Day. So I want to just ask the moms one quick question here again. Where is Jesus in your life today? Where is Jesus in all that you do? All the things you do for your family, and you know, you gotta wash clothes, you gotta cook, and all these kinds of things, you know, do you find that do you find that Jesus can be crowded out of your life? Because you're doing so much other things, so much other stuff. If you're here today and you say, like, you know, I don't have time for the Lord, and I'm so busy with other things. If you say, that's me, your priorities are wrong. Your priorities need to be Jesus at the top of the list. I got to have my time with the Lord. And then everything else will follow in this place. It couldn't have been easy for Damaris. But she lived in the center of learning and of the universities of that part of the world at that time. Everybody wanted to go there to learn things. Those who were retired, they liked getting together and just talking about all the world's problems and things that are wrong with Athens and, you know, you name it. You know, not much has changed today. A lot of times you might hear somebody go like, well, did you solve all the world's problems today when you had coffee with your friends? You know, we kind of just chuckle at that and kind of laugh. We're like, well, we talked a lot. I don't think we resolved anything. It couldn't have been easy for Damaris. But she became a believer in the gospel. She became a Christian. Moms, are you ready to be like her? Are you ready? I want to just encourage you. I mean, I dare you. I just dare you to be in Damaris. not going to be easy, but it's going to be well worth it when you see Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for names in the Bible that we don't really know much about. Sometimes there's a lot of people that probably aren't even mentioned in the Bible, just like there are here today. Things that have gone on in the lives of people that only you know. And you know the faithful moms that taught their kids the importance of following the Lord or knowing about Him or wanting to know about Him? At one time, families were the church together. Today, Lord, we see it's not uncommon to find kids that have no church attendance at all. And this is America. And yet we want to send people to different countries across the oceans as missionaries to tell others, but we don't have the same desire here in our own country. Milford, Iowa is full of families and kids that do not go to any church. So it might be the same in Arnold's Park and Okoboji and Spear Lake and a lot of other towns and places and states. No wonder our country is going through the things that it is. We've fallen away from your word. I mean, go on our own feelings and our own thoughts. And they're not godly. So Lord, I just pray for the moms today that have so much going on. I just want to encourage them to not give up. Continue to be the mom that you want mothers to be. And even if kids graduate from high school, even if they get married, even if they go to college, moms never stop worrying about them. They still love them. Still want the best for them, even when they get married or have kids or whatever. They're that way their whole lives. So thank you for the moms that are here today and those that have been in our lives throughout the course of our lives here today. So we thank you for Damaris. May we come to believe and follow Jesus rather than following other voices, other kinds of gods, but that we follow the one and only true God, who is you. The Yahweh, the Jehovah, the Elohim of the Bible. You have many, many more names. But may we come to you today. You know everything that's going on. You know the hurts. You know the pressures. You know the stresses. And you invite us still to come and allow you to have your way in our hearts. It won't make things any easier. But we will have a stability because we believe in what is called the rock, not sand. Our faith is on the rock. And so just bless each home, each mom that's here today, grandma and great grandma. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand in this moment. The Lord's Prayer. Let's do the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll do the Apostles' Creed. You can stand for it both, okay? Lord's Prayer first. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's pray the Apostles' Creed, or recite the Apostles' Creed together.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried.
He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May be seated. Our closing song is going to be one that is a favorite of mine. We're going to sing just one verse. And I will dismiss you, but before you start playing, Bobby, all the moms that are here today, I want you to know that there is going to be a flower given to each of you. Do not leave this church until you've been given a flower. People in the church council will hand you those flowers out, but they're going to be out in the foyer as you come in. And the early birds, you get yours first. And if you have coffee and stick around, well, we'll bring them to you, type of thing. But I just want you to know that we really appreciate you. We really love you very much. Thanks for all that you do, that even no one else probably cares about, but God does. He cares very much about. So that's going to be taking place right after I say the very end here. Okay, Bobby, let me sing. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.